Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. A question has come my way. It's asking, what do we say when we go and visit our friends or family who have passed away in the cemetery? And they heard that there are things that could be an innovation, bid'ah in the Arabic Islamic term. And they quoted such as reciting Al-Fatiha. And the follow-up question to that would be, do they hear us when we speak to them? So here is my answer, and I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to assist me. My brothers and sisters, when somebody loses a loved one, our hearts and minds get occupied with grief, and it is very difficult for us to get through it. And we always ask Allah to assist us with perseverance, patience, as much as we can. So, from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gave us some leeways and guidance about how to deal with this type of grief and what we can do for our loved ones who have passed away, so that you don't feel that it all has ended and there's nothing else you can do. Among the things that we can do is visit them in the cemetery and a few other things which I'm going to mention, inshallah. So visiting our loved ones in the cemetery, we go back to what the guidance of the Prophet, peace be upon him, did and the authentic narrations that we have about how he did it. For he is the role model. As Allah says in the Quran, لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. There has come to you a great example in the Messenger of Allah, لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ. Whoever hopes to meet Allah and to be successful in the hereafter. The Prophet, peace be upon him, used to visit Al-Baqi', among other places where the companions were buried. Al-Baqi' is near Medina and near the Prophet, peace be upon him's house. So when he used to go there, the companions said that he used to, first of all, greet the people of the cemetery, the people who passed away, and he would say, As-salamu alaykum ahla al-diyari min al-mu'mineena wal-muslimin. Sometimes he would say, peace be upon you, the home of believing men and women among the believers and Muslims. Sometimes he would say, Salamu alaykum. And then he would make dua for them. He would always make dua for them. And sometimes he would say, may Allah forgive them, have mercy upon them, raise their ranks. He said this dua when a grandchild of his passed away. He made this dua for his companions when he passed away. And other such similar du'as. May Allah pardon them. Oh Allah, raise their ranks. Oh Allah, admit them to paradise. And sometimes he would talk as if he was talking to them. So he would say, أنتم السابقون ونحن إن شاء الله بكم لاحقون. You have beaten us to the hereafter. You have gone ahead and we will soon follow by the will of Allah. What he means by follow, meaning to the gardens and to the mercy and the blessings of Allah. That's what he means. No, it doesn't mean that we wish for death. So these are the types of words the Prophet, peace be upon him, used to say. You can grab a book called Fortress of the Muslim or any other dua book about what the sunnah words and expressions the Prophet, peace be upon him, used to say when he visited the cemetery. Another thing to do at the cemetery is to avoid sitting on the graves or walking on the graves. So we go in there with silence as much as we can and reflecting. That is the way the Prophet, peace be upon him, taught us, and thinking about our hereafter. In fact, he used to say, I forbid you from visiting the graves at one point. Behold, now go and visit it, for it reminds you of the hereafter. So when the Prophet, peace be upon him, used to visit them, there's no narration, at least an authentic narration, which I personally know of, or have learnt about or ever found in my studies all my life or from my scholars or even doing research. I couldn't find evidence that the Prophet, peace be upon him, or his companions used to recite Surah Al-Fatiha specifically or any other surah in the Quran when they visited the cemetery. Allah knows best, but to call it an innovation or a bid'ah is probably something that I will not dare to say. I don't know. But anything in a religion that a person makes up and starts to say that this is part of what Islam taught us we should do, when they know that there is no reality to it, and a person starts to say, yes, this is part of Islam, and not knowing, then it is a risk of falling into something called innovation, making up something of the religion. Regardless of that, if a person does recite Al-Fatiha for the dead people in the cemetery with the intention of passing on the rewards and the blessings of the rewards of reciting surahs from the Qur'an, there is a scholar by the name of Ibn al-Qayyim who says in his book, I think it's called Had al-Arwah or Ar-Ruh, where he says that there is a view where a person can recite the Qur'an and ask Allah to share the rewards with the people who have passed away. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. But if you recite Al-Fatiha in specific, I want you to reflect on what you're actually saying, and then you can make the decision of whether this sounds right or not right to recite when you visit the dead. So you're praising Allah and you're then asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide you. You're saying, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. Oh Allah, guide us to the straight path, the path of those whom you have bestowed your pleasure upon, not the path of those who have earned your anger or those who have been led astray. If you notice that the whole Fatiha is a dua, but it's not a dua for anyone other than yourself and the living. So you're saying, oh Allah, guide us to the straight path. And we all know without a doubt and common sense that once a person has passed away, all of the obligations of commands and prohibitions, religion and prayer and worship are cut off. So to say, guide us to the straight path, not the path of those who have been led astray, we all know it's the guidance of Islam, the guidance of correct worship in this life. So effectively, you're making dua for yourself at the grave. Oh Allah, guide us. So using and saying what the Prophet, peace be upon him, taught us is far more reliable and better than reciting a verse from the Qur'an. You're making a dua for the dead person. And in fact, the Prophet, peace be upon him, was approached by a man who said, Ya Rasulullah, my parents passed away. Do I still owe them any dutifulness and goodness after their death? And he said, yes, five things. And among them, he said, to make dua for them and to ask Allah to forgive them. In another narration from Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he used to say, oh Allah, forgive the believing men and women, the living ones and the dead ones. Everything when it comes to the dead people, the people who passed away, you will find that in the entire Sunnah of the Prophet, peace be upon him, was always supplication and prayers for them. Even when we pray the Salatul Janazah, we get up and we do recite Al-Fatiha first, and that is why probably some of the groups of scholars said, look, it's permissible, but we can't really say that for sure because it is a prayer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's natural that we say Allahu Akbar and recite Al-Fatiha. But what we do in that special janazah prayer, that funeral prayer, is that we make dua for the deceased. So again, you see the dua for the deceased once again. And that is the best way to follow that type of a sunnah, or that to follow that sunnah as our way of life in relation to the people who have passed. The follow-up question to this is, can the dead people hear us? The scholars said a few things about this, and they differed in their views. Now, obviously, from a physical point of view, from a realistic point of view, the physical body, once it dies, it cannot hear anything at all. Obviously, you're dead after that time, and all your senses are cut off. So the scholars didn't differ on whether the physical body can hear you. But because we as Muslims, we believe in the soul of the body and that it exits the body and stays alive, they're talking about the nature of the soul, whether it can hear us after that person has died. And here is the answer. The Prophet, peace be upon him, was burying a companion. And then he said to his companions, make dua for your brother and ask Allah to make him firm. And then he said, the dead can hear, or he can hear, qara'a ni'alikum, the tapping or the footsteps of your shoes as you walk away. So some of the scholars took this as evidence to say that the dead people therefore can hear us. But actually the majority and the correct view is that, and this is the statement of Ibn Taymiyyah, is that they can hear us temporarily just for that short time and then it fades away. But what is the nature of this hearing? Bear with me to illustrate to you what the scholars said to us. When you go to sleep, you go into a state of unconsciousness. But have you ever been in a situation where you're kind of in between asleep and almost awake? But from the person who's observing you, they can see that you're completely asleep. However, from your perspective, from where you are, you can also almost make out noises and sounds from the people around you while you're still dreaming. Have you ever been in that situation? And that's when you're just about to wake up, but you're actually asleep. Or sometimes you might be in not much of a deep sleep, and then you might wake up and say, I heard noises, but you don't really remember, and you can't even make out the language or anything like that. In fact, it was just something that passed that is so almost close to unconscious. Or if you've ever almost about to take a siesta and about to fall asleep, and then you're kind of asleep and you can still hear noises of the people, but you can't make it out. So the scholars, they told us it's something like that. And, you know, in the Quran, sleeping is also referred to as death, when the soul reaches, exits. And in the hadith of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he also said that the sleeping is minor death. So you can see there is some similarity, and that's the kind of example they gave. So when a person has died, in the first instance, they said, we believe as Muslims and from the authentic hadith of the Prophet, peace be upon him, that two angels come to the person in their grave and they ask him questions. What is your religion? Who is your Lord? And at that instant, another authentic hadith, which is inside Muslim, that Allah orders for the soul to return back to its grave. So it's there in a world which we cannot see. In the Quran, there's a world called behind something called barzakh. Barzakh literally means a barrier that separates something from another. And so there's a barrier that separates this world from the world of the souls, the hereafter. We have no connection to it and they have no connection to us. Again, it's similar to the example of when you go to sleep and you dream and your soul travels. So we're not talking about subconscious mind and the dreams that your subconscious mind speaks of, a reality of the soul, but that's another topic. So they said that it's kind of similar to that, to bring it close to our logical mind. That the soul is somehow close to the body and therefore noises or sounds can be heard, but it can't make it out and it's in very, very distant. Another evidence they use is when the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, after the Battle of Badr, the enemies who had done so many atrocious things to the Muslims and killed them, the big leaders, the Muslims didn't bury them, they threw them down into a well. And that's where they were buried. And the Prophet, peace be upon him, went up to them. And among them were, you know, Abu Jahl and Utbah and all those leaders of the disbelievers who did atrocious things to Muslims. The Prophet, peace be upon him, yelled out to them and he said to them, oh so-and-so, oh so-and-so, oh so-and-so, have you found what Allah has promised you? For Allah, we have found what Allah has promised us. And Umar ibn al-Khattab was standing next to him and he says, Ya Rasulullah, you're talking to the dead people when their bodies have decomposed and gone. And he said to him, you cannot hear me any better than them. Meaning that they're hearing me just like you're hearing me. But the response to that, some scholars, they said, well, since he was addressing them, the dead can hear. But again, the response to that from the majority of scholars is that, again, that was something special for the Prophet, peace be upon him. Or it also could be understood that when a person first dies, the soul are still near the body in some way, and there is some kind of hearing. But again, this is a miracle for the Prophet, peace be upon him, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it allowed for his voice to reach them in that world called the world of the souls or the barzakh. So brothers and sisters, in conclusion, the correct opinion is that, first of all, from the logical common sense, that the body itself, once it dies, it cuts off from all senses. We see it in reality. We can experiment it. We practice it. We know it. And we can also compare it to going to sleep. When you're in a coma or you're under the effect of anesthesia, when you have an operation, for example, at the hospital, when you go into deep sleep, we definitely do not hear anything around us. And if that's the case while we are still alive, then it's more true that when a person dies, obviously the body feels nothing, hears nothing, sees nothing of this world. It just decomposes and becomes part of the earth. As for the soul, we can say that one of the views is maybe partially. They have this slight faraway sense only when they're first buried. So brothers and sisters, some people, they go to the grave and they talk to the dead people and they think that they can hear them. Unfortunately, I wish they did, and I wish that was true. But the more correct view is that the evidences don't support it. So my brothers and sisters, you still are allowed to call to them if you like, but with the intention of saying, let's say if it's part of your healing and part of your grief, and you say, my son or my father or my mother, I loved you so much, because the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to also say that, and some companions used to say that, but not in the sense that you believe that they can do something or they can hear you or respond, in the sense of you expressing your grief. Just a matter of language, it's how we speak, right? Oh Muhammad, you are so beloved to me. But without going too far and wailing and saying things that are forbidden, such as, why did you leave me? Why did Allah take you? And all those words should not be said. In fact, we should say, to Allah belong, we all belong, and to Him we shall all return. Make dua for them and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive them. Give charity on their behalf if you can. And whatever they taught you of goodness, practice it and teach others. So although we've come to the conclusion that it is likely that the people who have died don't actually hear us when we're awake and we speak to them, the question now is, well, what about in our sleep? And what about the souls in the world which we now understand is called the world of the barzakh, which means the world behind the barrier, the world of the souls? Do the souls meet? Do they talk? And do they ask about us? So in relation to the souls talking to each other, there is an authentic hadith in An-Nasa'i. And the hadith is actually, if you want to look it up, An-Nasa'i, hadith number 1833. And this is the Arabic version. You can also look it up in the English version. And Sheikh Al-Albani has included it in his book of authentic hadiths, As-Silsilat al-Sahihah. And he talks about the souls of the believers, where the Prophet, peace be upon him, said that when a person dies, the believing soul goes up into the heavens, and there's a lot of things that happen, it's a long story. And then as the soul is being returned back to the grave for the questioning, for that brief moment, on its way, the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, and then the believing souls who have passed away are brought to meet this new soul that has just passed away and left this world. And they all run to him or her. He knows some of them they don't know. And they begin to ask him or her about the people they knew in this life, their relatives, their family, their friends. What has such and so-and-so done? What has such and such a person done? And they're so excited, like the Prophet, peace be upon him, says, like a person who's just come from overseas whom you love, and you go over to ask them about, you know, their journey and so on, and people that you knew overseas. And someone says among the crowd, it's possibly an angel or someone, who says, let him rest, or leave him, or leave him alone for now, for he's just come out of the claustrophobia of the world. There's a reminder to the hadith, but that section is just to illustrate that, yes, the souls of the people who passed away do meet each other. And there are souls of the people who have gone to another side, the side of where they can't be with the righteous souls. And this is also in the Quran, where Allah does tell us that those who were righteous in this life and they die, they pass away, then they will be with the prophets and the martyrs and the righteous ones and so on. And this means that they will be from the barzakh onwards with them. What about the question of whether we can communicate with them in our dreams? Unfortunately, we don't have a definite answer to that, because the verses in the Quran and all the hadiths of the Prophet, peace be upon him, they indicate it, but they're not a confirmation. One of the verses that indicate it is the one that is mentioned in Surat Az-Zumar, in verse number 42, where Allah says, it is Allah who takes the souls out of the body in a state of unconsciousness when they die. And he also does that, takes the soul of the person in a state of unconsciousness when they go to sleep. So death and sleep, the soul, is taken. فِي مَنَامِهَا, in its sleep. And then he withholds the soul of the one who is supposed to be dead and not return, and returns the soul of the other one who is meant to live on. So when you're asleep and you wake up, your soul is returned, and the person who is already dead, their souls are withheld. This is an indication, according to the Mufassir, the commentator Al-Qurtubi, Al-Qurtubi, who said that this is an indication that the souls of the people who go to sleep and the souls of the people who have died possibly meet, and most likely they do meet. In fact, the great scholar Ibn al-Qayyim has a book called Ar-Ruh, and he champions this argument strongly in his book, saying the reality is evidence, and what we have seen is evidence that when you go to sleep, your soul does meet the souls of people who have passed away. And he quotes certain evidences from the time of the Prophet, peace be upon him, narrations and stories from the predecessors who existed after the time of the Prophet, peace be upon him, how they met their father and their loved ones and their brothers or their wife or their husband in their dream and so on. One of the stories appears in Sahih Muslim, actually, about At-Tufayl ibn Amr, and he is one of the companions of the Prophet, peace be upon him. It's a long story about a time when At-Tufayl, him and another companion, without mentioning his name in the hadith, migrated with the Prophet, peace be upon him, from Mecca to Medina. So we know the migrants, the muhajirin, are the top of the level of all the sahabas, you know, the muhajirin and the ansar. So he was one of the muhajirin, one of the noble ones, one of the most righteous ones. And he had done something with his hands, something that wasn't very pleasing. And he passed away. At-Tufayl ibn Amr, he says that I went to sleep and I dreamt and saw this man. I saw this friend of mine in my dreams. And I asked him, how did Allah treat you? And he was in a very good place and a beautiful look. And he said, I found Allah's pleasure and forgiveness. Because the Prophet, peace be upon him, had asked Allah to forgive him and the dua of the believers. But he was hiding his hands. And he said, why are you hiding your hands? He said, these are the hands that I, something about them that was not right. When At-Tufayl woke up, he went to the Prophet, peace be upon him, and told him about his hands. And the Prophet, peace be upon him, he said, oh Allah, forgive him and forgive his hands. And so At-Tufayl saw him again and his hands were fine. So this hadith is mentioned, as I said, in Muslim, and is an indication that yes, people when they go to sleep, it is highly likely that they do see people's souls. But I just want to make a very important point. Some people take these matters a bit too far. They start creating new laws, new epiphanies or prophecies of some sort in life based on dreams. And this is contradictory to the Quran and the Sunnah. In fact, you can fall into major sin by claiming new laws, for example, to the religion, or claiming prophecies, adding to what Allah and His Messenger have said. What I mean by prophecies of religion. For example, some people might see a dream saying, you are the chosen one. And so a person's on a mission to go as if they are a new prophet or a new Messiah or something like that. I've heard of people who see dreams where the shaitan themselves come to them and they show them images and things, and they wake up and they think that they are Jesus himself. I know of people like that. There are people who see dreams and then based on what they saw, they think that some angel came to them, some of the future, and then they base upon that they are the Mahdi, for example, the awaited man that the Prophet ﷺ told us about, or that they are the Jesus or something like that. Brothers and sisters, these are all false. You cannot see a dream and from a dream a new law is made or a new prophecy is made or an anointed person is appointed. Dreams that are left right now that the Prophet, peace be upon him, told us about that come from wahi from Allah are not about new things in the religion or new prophecies, but they are either warnings or indications for yourself that are already in the Quran and Sunnah of day-to-day lives. For example, if a person hasn't been praying, a person has been doing wrong things, a person has been lying a lot, a person has been harming people or theft or something like that, Allah may give you a warning in your dream that, you know, time is running out and you should repent to Allah. Or let's say, for example, a person is doing well and they might see a dream that shows them something nice and good that shows you that you are actually going on the right track. Some people say, I saw that the world was ending and so on, sometimes because of a movie they watched or maybe because they've been reading about the hereafter. But the point is, sometimes it can be from Allah, but it's not something new in life. Like, it's not some new prophecy. The prophecies and the future and the signs of the last hour are already stated in the Quran and stated by the Prophet, peace be upon him. There's no more room for them to be seen in dreams. If you claim that, then it's as if you are saying that Allah has not completed his mission, his message, and that the Prophet, peace be upon him, has not completed his mission as it was stated in the Quran. Today, al-yawma akmaltu lakum dinakum. Today, I've completed your religion for you. Wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati. My pleasure is bestowed upon you completely. Wa raditu lakum al-islam ad-din. And I am pleased with Islam as your religion, as Allah says in the Quran. So there's nothing new. It's just little warnings for each individual. So don't take it too far and start to... I remember once praying in the Haram in Mecca, and it was Umrah time. We had some students with us. And as we're praying Zuhr, some man jumped to the microphone and he screamed out, I am Imam al-Mahdi. And you know, the soldiers took him away. I remember when I was in Lebanon, several people said, I am Imam al-Mahdi. And there have been hundreds of people saying, I am Isa, I am the Mahdi, I am the Dajjal, I am. These are not dreams from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So please avoid these types of interpretations and these types of misinformation. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us, protect us, and have mercy upon our loved ones and yours, and make us from the people of paradise. May Allah forgive us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.